Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word today. I thank you for every person here, for every person joining us on our live stream, every person that will listen to this podcast or maybe listen to this on our radio, whatever means, Lord, that they're hearing this right now. I thank you for your Holy Spirit opening their heart in the name of Jesus, for your Holy Spirit giving each of us revelation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your truth. Lord, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, guiding us into all truth. We thank you for it today. Lord, I thank you that that same Holy Spirit gives me utterance today to say what you would have me to say, to speak to your people today, Father, your heart, your truth, your message in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. And everyone that agreed said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Matthew chapter 24 is where we're going to begin today. Matthew 24, verse 3, it says, now as he's talking about Jesus, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus had started talking to them about the last days, and they said, well, when's it going to be? They had questions about the end, about the last days. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And so Jesus had just prophesied about the destruction of the temple, which took place some 40 years after he had spoken it there. And so, his disciples ask him about the last days. They ask him about his coming. And the two main things that Jesus tells them that stood out to me a few years ago as I was reading this, the two main things that he says is, number one, take heed that no one deceives you. And the second thing, see that you are not troubled. And so as we approach the end of the age, then I think it would be wise for us to take heed to what Jesus said to them, because he's saying it to us as well. Number one, don't be deceived. And number two, don't be troubled. See to it that you're not troubled. Amen. So I want to talk about this morning, living confidently in the last days. God wants us as his people, as his children, to live confidently as we walk into, as the last days unfold before us, and they are unfolding before us, as we can see. Amen? And so anything that you're hearing related to what's going on in the world, the end of the age, the judgment of God upon America, economic collapse, food shortages, anything that you hear along those lines that produces fear in you, that causes you to have a troubled heart, is not from God. Amen? So I'm not saying that none of these things are going to happen, are not going to happen. I'm not saying that there won't be some of these things happening. But for us, Jesus said, see to it that you're not troubled. And I want to share with you why. Well, how can we do that? Just stick our head in the sand? No, stick your head in the Word. Amen? We're not sticking our head in the sand. We're sticking our head in the Word. Amen. Glory to God. All right. So how can we keep from being deceived? Well, again, by being grounded in the truth of the Word of God, and by rightly dividing it, and by following the Holy Spirit. And how can we keep from being troubled and fearful? Well, again, by understanding what the Word of God says concerning His people and how God will take care of His people. Amen? See, God has a great track record of taking care of His people in the midst of great shaking and turmoil. And no matter what's going on around them and in the world, In the midst of that, God's got a great track record of taking care of His people. And do you think He's forgotten how to do that? Do you think He's lost His ability to do that? No, He's not. Amen? See, when God began to bring judgments upon Egypt, on the land of Egypt, what did He do? He took care of His people, didn't He? Let's read here, Exodus chapter 9, in verse 4. We're just going to pick up kind of in the middle of this. You know, Moses has gone back down to Egypt with the rod, amen, and with his brother Aaron, and said, tells Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no way. You know, who do you think you are telling me, you know, this? Who is this, the Lord you're talking about? And as we get into this, the judgments begin to come upon the land of Egypt. But look at what happened here in verse 4 of Exodus 9. God says to Moses, but the Lord will again make a distinction between the livestock of the Israelites and that of the Egyptians. Not a single one of Israel's animals will die. So He tells him beforehand that they're going to be protected, as I think it is the hail. Yeah, as the judgment of hail is about to come. I didn't cuss, and I'm not speaking with a exaggerated Southern accent. It's hail, not hail. Okay? All right. Anyway, so this judgment of hail is about to come, but God tells Moses in advance, look, I'm going to make a distinction. Do you think God still knows how to make a distinction between His people and the world? Amen. And He said, not one single of Israel's animals will die. Verse 5, the Lord has already set the time for the plague to begin. He has declared that He will strike the land tomorrow. Verse 6, and the Lord did just as He had said. The next morning, all the livestock of the Egyptians died, but the Israelites didn't lose a single animal. Amen. Is He still able to do that? Yes. Amen. Amen. Verse 23 of chapter 9. So Moses lifted his staff toward the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and lightning flashed toward the earth. The Lord sent a tremendous hailstorm against all the land of Egypt. Never in all the history of Egypt had there been a storm like that with such devastating hail and continuous lightning. It left all of Egypt in ruins. The hail struck down everything in the open field, people, animals, and plants alike. Even the trees were destroyed. The only place without hail was the region of Goshen where the people of Israel lived. Is God still able to do that?
Yes.
We go to chapter 10, verse 21. This is the plague of darkness. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Total darkness, total blackout in all the land of Egypt. But for the children of Israel in the land of Goshen, they had light in their dwellings. They didn't lose a single animal. They were not affected by the hail. And they had light in their dwellings when all of Egypt was plunged into darkness. Amen? God has a track record of caring for His people and sustaining His people. Praise God. We could look at a lot of scriptures throughout the Old Testament that bear this out. But I want to fast forward to the New Testament, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, and he's talking to them about the catching away of the church. Verse 16 of chapter 4, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, what is the next word?
Comfort.
Comfort one another with these words. The last days and the coming of the Lord for the believer, for the New Testament believer, is a message of hope and a message of comfort.
Amen.
For us. Amen?
Amen?
Paul goes on here in chapter 5, and he says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." I want you to notice it says, when they say, and it says destruction comes on them, and they shall not escape. This is the first place where the they, them pronouns were used. Some of you know what I'm talking about. All right. But look at what he says in the next verse. But you, brethren. But you, brethren. In other words, there's a difference. There's a difference between the world and the people of God. When the world is saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction is going to come on them and they won't escape. He said, but you, brethren, you're not in darkness. So that this day should overtake you as a thief. Amen. Where are we? We're not in the darkness. We're children of light. We walk and live in the light of His Word. Amen. And then he says in verse 8, he says, but let us who are of the day be sober. Put in what means to be watchful. That means to be alert. Amen. So we are to be, we're not to be sleeping. We're to be alert spiritually. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So notice the three spiritual forces that we're to be girded with in the last days, faith, love, and hope. Not dread, not fear, not panic, not hoarding, not survival mode. Faith, hope, and love. Verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Verse 11, therefore, again, what's the next word? Comfort each other. Amen. That's what we ought to be doing instead of generating fear. Oh, did you hear about this? Did you hear what they're going to try to do? Let me send you this video that I saw. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. No. All right. He says, comfort each other and edify. That means to build up. Edify one another just as you're doing. Amen. Now, there's a lot of stuff out there, and so you have to filter through it. Some of it may be have some truth in it. But again, if it produces fear, if it produces dread, if it produces panic in you, if it gets you in a mode of, well, we're just going to try to survive here, that's not a message from God. Hallelujah. Did I come to the right church this morning? Am I in the right place? All right. Amen. You know, I was gone last week. I wasn't sure if I maybe this was the right one, but yeah, it is. Amen. All right. Praise God. So we're to comfort each other. We're to edify each other, and we're to build one another up. Amen? Amen. So let's talk about some of these things. Is there coming an economic collapse to America? You hear a lot of people talking about that. And again, some credible, you know, what I would consider credible voices saying things like that. But I would have to say that I don't see that, not in the natural and certainly not in the scriptures. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you let the Lord lead you. You prepare, you plan, however God leads you. Now, to be honest with you, usually the people that are broadcasting these things and telling you these things, they're wanting you to buy their product. You ever notice that? I was talking to my now my son-in-law, before he was my son-in-law, just a few weeks ago, was talking to Skip about this, and he had seen an article, and I think I'd seen the same article, and I said, Skip, did you notice that on that article it said this is sponsored? It's in a news feed, it's on a news website. Do you know, we have to notice these things. When it says sponsored, that means the folks that wrote the article, they make it sound like a news article, but they're selling you something. They're selling you their product. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, the Bible says that there was an economic collapse that happened in Egypt, all right. But the children of Israel got the money. There was a transfer of wealth from the Egyptians to the Israelites, from the world system to God's people. Proverbs 13:22 says this, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. That's God's word. That's God's word. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Amen. Let's go to the book of James. James talks about this. In James chapter 5, verse 1. Come now, ye rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. So this is a judgment that James, the writer of the book of James, that James is speaking and pronouncing upon the rich that have hoarded up. These are the ungodly, the wicked that have hoarded up. And we see a movement. The great, I believe what they talk about, the Great Reset is a part of this. It's a movement to try to concentrate wealth in the hands of the privileged elite. And that's happening. But it's not going to work. That plan is going to fail. All right? He says, you've heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, you kept their wages back, cry out. Those wages are crying out. Somebody said money talks. You ever heard that? Well, here it is. Money's talking. Those wages are saying, we're in the wrong place. We've been hoarded up by the wicked, and we're in the wrong place. The money's crying out, and God hears it. Those wages cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Do you remember we've already talked about the children of Israel in Egypt? Do you remember reading in the account where it says that the children of Israel, when they were in bondage in Egypt, they cried out to the Lord, and their cries came up to the Lord? And what happened? He came and judged that situation, and he delivered the Israelites, and he transferred the wealth of the Egyptians to the Israelites. He said, they've been working for you for 400 years without a paycheck. We've got to fix that. And God fixed it. God fixed it. Amen. And the account of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord tells Abraham, there's been a cry that's come up to me about the oppression and about the wickedness in these cities. Amen. And what happened? God came down and brought judgment. Anytime a cry comes up to him, God comes down and makes it right. And he says the money's crying out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. That's not Sabbath. Put that verse back up there for a second, Kim. The Lord of Sabaoth, okay? And so that literally means that's not the Sabbath, but that's the Lord of hosts. Now, again, he says the rich have heaped up treasure here in this passage. It says in the last days, and the King James actually says you've heaped up treasure for the last days, all right? But Proverbs says that stored up wealth is for who? It's for the righteous. Again, let's look at it in the Amplified, Proverbs 13:22 in the Amplified. The wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. Amen. Woo! Praise God. And again, the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. And again, it's not Sabbath, it's Sabaoth, which literally means the Lord of hosts. All right? And we found out in our study of on angels that the Lord of hosts, the host there means the angelic armies. In fact, the New Living Translation says it that way. Indeed, it says, the cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And when the cries reach the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies, then he's going to release his armies to go make that right. But who are these reapers? Who are these workers who are harvesting the fields? And what crop are they harvesting? What is this injustice that God is going to correct? Well, as we read on in the book of James here, we get further insight. Look at verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. We're talking about these things happening and before the coming of the Lord as we approach it. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. What is the precious fruit of the earth? Well, it's not wheat. It's not corn. It's not barley. It's not rice. It's not soybeans. It's souls. It's people. God is the farmer. Hallelujah. God is the divine heavenly farmer. And as the farmer, he is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Hallelujah. Every person that Jesus died for and shed his blood for, God the Father wants all of us to be able to make it to heaven through hearing the gospel and believing on Jesus. That's the precious fruit of the earth. That's the harvest. Hallelujah. And so the laborers, the workers, are those who are gathering in the harvest. That should be every one of us. Amen. Praise God. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Let's get the rest of the verse there. Waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. What is that? That's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's what we ought to be praying for. Amen. Verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And so the Lord has heard the cries of these harvesters. And he's going to make sure that the harvesters have the resources they need to reap this great harvest of souls. Amen? He's going to get the money into the hands of his people so that we can finance the preaching of the gospel. That's what I see. That's what I see on the horizon instead of an economic collapse. Now, could they be simultaneous? They could be. But for God's people, especially for those of us who will set ourselves and we're not just going to hoard up and say, well, I better keep this. But if we will be givers and if we'll be have our focus on not just surviving, but we're going to see the gospel spread to nations and to people that haven't heard and to nations that haven't heard and right here in our community. If we'll have that as our mindset and our focus, God will get the money to us, to you. Amen. If you're a person that will cooperate with God in this project, then he'll see to it that you have plenty. Praise God. What about food shortages? Are we going to have food shortages? Well, again, most of the people that are telling you that are ready to sell you their 3-month supply. Just call us at My Patriot Supply. You ever heard that guy talking with that deep voice? Now, if you've bought a 3-month food supply from My Patriot Supply, then fine. I don't have a problem with that. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have some food and water. And don't forget the toilet paper stored up for an emergency. That's all. I mean, I'm serious. That's fine. And I'm not saying this, we can just run down to Quick Trip every day and get. No, I'm not saying live like that. Okay. But again, God has a great track record of providing for his people, even in the midst of a famine. Think about it. He fed the children of Israel supernaturally for 40 years. He sent manna every day for 40 years for 3 million. There's no way you could buy enough My Patriot Supply, 3-month supply, to feed three million people for 40 years. Amen. My Heavenly Father supply. Amen. 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 And He commanded the ravens to feed the prophet Elijah, like we've said to you many times. Brought him a Chick-fil-A biscuit every morning. Brought him a Burger King Whopper every evening. It said he brought him bread and meat every morning and bread and meat every evening. I was preaching this down at Pastor Moss's church, this referring to this particular account. Notice he didn't have to eat any vegetables. Again, don't walk out of here saying Pastor David says we don't have to eat our vegetables. Don't let him get away with that. I know he would try. I know I've eaten with him, so he's better though. The last time we ate, he ordered a chicken breast with no bread and I think some vegetables. Is it Waffle House? Do they have vegetables at Waffle House? I don't know. He had a nice grilled chicken breast though. I remember that. All right, praise God, Amen. Where were we at? All right. Jesus multiplied not once, but twice. He multiplied a child's lunch. One time fed 5,000, another time fed 4,000. Amen? So if we do, are you saying we're not going to have food short? I don't know. I don't know any of that, but I do know this. I know that God can take care and will take care of His people. So you and I should not be living in fear and in anxiety and letting our hearts be troubled. Amen. Praise God. Is America under the judgment of God? That's another thing that we hear from time to time. Well, I know Billy Graham, I heard this years ago, Billy Graham once said that if God doesn't judge America, then he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. And that may be true. But remember that God also told Abraham that if he could find 10 righteous in the city of Sodom, that he would spare the whole city for the sake of 10. As Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. Are there 10 righteous people in America today? I believe there are. Or to use Derek Prince's logic, Derek Prince writes in one of the books that we use in prayer school, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. He writes about this and he says he was very logical and methodical in his thinking and his writing and teaching. And he says there was probably about 10,000, just estimate, 10,000 people, 10,000 citizens of Sodom in Abraham's day. So the ratio would be one righteous person per 1,000. If I can find 10, I'll spare the 10,000. Okay, so the ratio is 1 per 1,000. Got it? With me? Okay. That would mean there's about 330,000 in America, the last numbers I knew, 330 million people in America today. That would mean that we would need about 300,000 righteous people. I believe we have that. I believe there's 300,000 righteous people. I said, Pastor, you don't know the folks I work with every day. I believe there are 300,000 righteous people in America. Amen. We are the salt of the earth. We are preservative. We're holding back judgment. Now, besides that, Lot was counted. If you think about it, Lot was one of those righteous people. It turned out that Abraham stopped asking at 10. I don't know that if he had gone on down that God would have said, okay, I'll spare it for 5. Okay, I'll spare it for Lot. Lot was counted and his family were counted as righteous. But if you look at their lives, it's not like they would be considered a lukewarm Christian today. Because Lot chose Sodom just because of what he could get materially out of it. He wasn't seeking first the kingdom of God. He wasn't really putting spiritual things first. And he was really would be considered what we would consider a lukewarm believer today. And yet God still counted him righteous, and because of Abraham's intercession still delivered him, and the angel still said, in getting them out, he said, I need you to go to this city because I can't do anything. I can't bring any judgment. The angel said that I'm commissioned to execute here. I can't do anything till I know that you're safe. Amen. And that's still God's attitude toward and principle toward His people. Amen. See, all these things that we hear and that we hear, you know, that folks are talking about and all of this, they can all become distractions to get us into fear, to get us in survival mode, and keep us from taking advantage of the glorious opportunity before us to reap a great harvest of souls. And that's what we shouldn't let happen. We shouldn't get distracted by these things. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. Is Reed still around or did he have to go? Does anybody know? I need him if we can summon him. He's back helping Amanda, I guess, and with the baby. There he is. Okay. There you go. All right. He heard me. Come on up, Reed. And I want us to do Faith is Rising again at the end. So he's probably Isaiah 60, verse 1. Look at what it says here. Arise, shine. Don't hunker down and get in survival mode, but arise and shine. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. A time where there's darkness in the earth, it's time for the people of God to arise and shine. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. That's what the church is to shine today. The church is to be bright with the glory of God and the blessings of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Lift up your eyes. Verse 4, lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. There's another scripture saying that the wealth of the Gentiles, the wealth of the wicked, is going to come into the hands of God's people. Praise God. Let me ask you this, the Great Commission. Has the Great Commission changed? Has the Great Commission been rescinded? Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, go, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And Jesus did not add, unless and until you get to the last days, and then you should get in fear, you should start hoarding, you should just try to protect yourself and just get into survival mode and hold on till I come. No, 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 he never said that. He said go. He said go and preach and teach and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything I commanded you. And I'm with you always. I'm with you always. Right up to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Is he? Praise God. Isaiah 35. Say to those who are fearful. So if you've been fearful hearted, I'm saying to you today. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, He will come and save you. Hallelujah. Psalm 91. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Is this scripture still, is it still applicable? Open your Bible there to Psalm 91 and look at it really close. Take your glasses off and look at it if you have to. Look at it really, really close and see if you see an expiration date. Man, expired 2,000 years ago. Oh, man. I knew it didn't smell right. No. No, it's not expired. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. I want to read to you a portion of a prophecy that Kenneth E. Hagin gave. This was his last major prophecy. He went home to be with the Lord September of 2003. So 20 years ago this month, he went home to be with the Lord. But back in February of that year, February of 2003, at Winter Bible Seminar, the Spirit of God came on him and he began to prophesy. And he said later that the Lord had only moved on him and that intensity and with that power, maybe only three or four times in his entire ministry. But the Lord did that night. And here's part of what he spoke. Many are concerned about the future and they wonder what will happen. Will darkness overtake or will the light shine bright? Yea, saith the Lord of hosts, remember that you're in my hands. And remember that I know the future better than you know the past, and all is well. I will alert you concerning that which will affect you. Follow the Spirit of God. Learn to follow the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Amen? Don't follow all these voices out here. If it doesn't witness with the Spirit of God on the inside of you, don't listen to it. I will alert you concerning that which will affect you. I will show you the way to go, and you'll walk in it and be blessed. Above all the people of the world upon the earth, you shall be blessed. For thou art my people. Are you God's people? We're His people. And my people shall rule and reign. And the blessings of God will fall upon them. The latter rain shall be poured out. Yea, upon nations that are now barren and void. But the rain will be poured out. The seed will be planted. The harvest will come. The glory of God will shine upon the earth. And they of the world will walk on in which the way they've walked. And the darkness shall overtake them. But you shall walk in the light. The entrance of His words gives light. Walk according to the Word. Walk in the Word. Walk in the Spirit, and the power shall rest upon you, and the glory of God shall be seen upon your face. Many shall turn to the Lord. Great days, great times, great blessings are ahead, so rejoice and be glad. That's what I believe. Amen. And all these other scriptures that we've shared with you this morning. There's one more that I want to, if you've got that ready, Kim, it's a prophecy that Angela Keaton, Brother Larry and Angela Keaton, tongue and interpretation, they ministered here almost three years ago, October of 2020, I believe it was. So if we can pull that up and play that, then let's do that.
As olondonga ste brevisto dromongo iste brabanga. Evro bosto poco d'ombre vasca babange. E don custo rugo gumbabangare desse. E ronando cutonda alle trete e lonondo cuduras. E rnalde e le menchi ingidi che poco. Già già babà, ci igi pocucci che canda. Evro o furrusa rama babanga cite ciucopococcio.
For the enemy would seek to destroy your land. He would seek to take it over and use it for his purposes. But I established this nation. Yes. I established it on the foundation of my word and on Christian values and principles. So rise up in faith. Rise up and know that I am on your side. Rise up and know that the angels stand ready to work at your command of faith. As you speak my word, they hear my word, and they go into action. And they will drive back the forces of darkness. For things that the enemy intends to do in this day and hour are premature. They're not intended for this day. Hallelujah. They're not intended Hallelujah. For this hour. Hallelujah. So rise up yeah. in confidence and in boldness. Yeah. And push back the forces yes. of darkness through your faith and through yes. your prayers. Release yes. my angels to work on your behalf yes. to hold the enemy back. For once I come and take you yes. away, yes. then the enemy will have his say. Yes. But not in this day, yes. says the Lord. Yes. For I am for you, and the enemy cannot be against you. So know that I have destined this nation for her finest hour. She shall yes. rise up, and the gospel shall be preached yes. from north to south, yes. from east to west. In every city, in every community, the gospel shall be preached. And thousands upon thousands upon thousands will come to know me as Lord and Savior, and things will turn, and things will change, and the gospel shall go forth not only in this nation, but out of this nation to the nations of the world. The greatest thrust of missionary evangelism is yet to come, says the Lord. So don't let the enemy do what he's planned to do. I rely on you. I move when you move. So move, says the Lord. Move to the place of prayer, and you will see my mighty hand, and you will see my deliverance.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Father.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We'll do it.
Glory to God. We'll take our place in prayer.
Lord. We'll take our place in prayer.
Yes, Lord.
We'll use the authority that you've given us in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Your word says, Lord,
that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church.
Right.
You know, when I was growing up in church, we sang this stupid song. Maybe some of you grew up in church, in a full gospel church, or even a denominational church. We sang this stupid song called Hold the Fort. Anybody ever hear that song? You didn't grow up like I did. And this dumb song was Hold the Fort, for I am coming. And it was like, we're surrounded by the devil. As a little kid, I could just see the devil at the windows, you know, trying to get into the church. And the old ladies would wave hankies, white hankies. You know, what is a white flag? It's surrender. And as a little kid, all I saw was the devil pressing in, and we're just down here saying, come on, Lord, come and get us and take us out of here. That is the total opposite picture of what the Bible teaches.
Amen. Yeah.
The gates of hell should be out there trembling because we're advancing and pushing against the gates, not the gates pushing against the church. The devil wants to have us in this mindset that we're weak and we're powerless and we can do nothing, and then it's going to take stadiums full of Christians praying to get anything done. But that is not true. Your individual prayers are powerful. The prayers of this church are powerful.
Yes. Yeah.
And we're going to take this nation back for God.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Wow.
Glory.
Well, I've never done this before, but I believe it's God. You know, Jesus, he spoke the end result. And when the disciples was in the boat and they saw Jesus coming, he got in the boat. What did he do? He said, peace.
Yeah.
So I just want you to join with me. Yeah. We're going to speak to the social unrest in this nation.
Yeah.
And we're going to speak to the political unrest in this nation. We're going to speak to division in this nation.
Yeah.
And right now, in Jesus' name, we're just going to say, peace, be still in Jesus' name. Let's do that again. Peace, be still in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Woo. Well, that's all I have.